Okay. So, first is a mini-unit, which will take us 30 seconds. The second two dots on Chof and Aleph. And the Gemara just said that Yasim Maremar B'Kamar L'Hashmaitim Yishmeid Nafshei. Maremar said everything that we were learning before in the name of, in his own name. And Amar L'Ravina L'Maremar Adon Hachay Mas Nisim La Anakid Deboy Min Reish Lakish Yochan Mas Nisim La. We learned it as a question from Reish Lakish to Reb Yochanan. Fine, end of that unit. Okay, now we return to what we were talking about in the Mishnah, if anyone remembers. Exactly right. When we were at the Mishnah, the topic of the Mishnah was bringing karbanos and doing smicha on the karban on Yom Tov. So now, finally, we get back to that, right? After a few blot, we get back to that. Remember, it's longer than it seems because we started with, we skipped to Chaf Aleph, which was actually what talked about the first part of the Mishnah. It's a little bit out of order, but okay. So Gemara says as follows, Tani, Tana, Kamei, De, Rav, Yitzchok, Baraba. So you bring the Ola, and you do it as the law dictates. Meaning, you do it according to the laws of the voluntary Ola, which teaches you, so this tells you that a obligatory Ola, an obligatory burnt offering, needs smicha, right? Needs the owner, needs the right, the person who's bringing the karban to rest his hands on the karban.
Why would you think not?
Well, the question you just need, because it's not true of all karban, you need to derive it. So, olat nedava, we'll get to why. Right? That's what we're going to try to figure out. But the simple pshat is simply that olat nedava, we know you bring right with smicha. And Olat Chova we derive from Olat Nidava. We're going to try to understand all of this. But that's the facts, right? Olat Nidava is in the Pasuk. Olat Chova is not. We derive it from Olat Nidava. So Amar Lei, Damar Lachamani. So he says, who holds that? Who believes that you have smich on this? B'shamayim. Delo gamri shalmei chova mishalmei nidava. It is B'shamayim. Because Beis Shammai holds that we don't derive obligatory shlamim from voluntary shlamim. De'i Beis Hillel, kevan digamri shalmei chova mishalmei nedava olas chova nami lo tivay kra. Because if you thought that once you know that you can do that something is obligatory in voluntary shlamim, it automatically translates into obligatory shlamim. So then we would do the exact same thing by olos. We would say that just like a voluntary ola needs smicha. Not even a kal v'chomer, just sort of a hekesh or a binyan av, right? Where we just compare the two. But, right, so Beis Shammai thinks that it doesn't simply work by mere comparison. You need a limud. So the Gemara says, so if you need a limud, which tells you that you can expand from voluntary to obligatory, so the same thing is true in the context of shlamim, so the same thing is true in the context of olos, but Beis Hillel thinks that you don't need a limud, it's just...
From voluntary to obligatory.
From voluntary to obligatory. Right, voluntary is more obvious. Right, voluntary is more obvious, the Gemara is assuming. We'll come back to why all this is, but let's get the facts on the table. You shouldn't even need a pasuk to tell you that an obligatory ola needs smicha digamri me olas nidava, because you'll derive it from voluntary nidava. So the Gemara says, "Umimai de Beis Hillel shalmei chova mishalmei nidava gamri." How do you know that Beis Hillel derives the obligation for smicha for voluntary shlamim from obligatory shlamim from voluntary shlamim? Dilma me olas chova gamri. Maybe he learned it across different lines. Maybe he learns it from, right, not shlamim to shlamim, but chova to chova, and he learns it from a comparison from olas chova to shalmei chova, va'olas chova gufa baikra. Right. So then you can explain it as follows: the pasuk tells you that you need smicha for voluntary olos. The limud then expands it from voluntary olos to obligatory olos, and then we compare across the axis of obligatory things to obligatory shlamim, which will also need smicha. If that made sense. So far, again, what we started with is that the one that has it in the pasuk, right, is olas nidava, right? Voluntary olos and voluntary shlamim. The ones that's not on the pasuk are obligatory shlamim, obligatory olos. The first limud expands from voluntary olos to obligatory olos. The Gemara assumes that because Beis Hillel provides no pasuk to explain how we got from voluntary shlamim to obligatory shlamim, that he doesn't need a pasuk. The Gemara says, if you don't need a pasuk to get from voluntary shlamim to obligatory shlamim, so then you shouldn't need a pasuk from voluntary olos to obligatory olos. And therefore, if there's a position that says you do need a pasuk, it must be Beis Shammai. And the Gemara then rejects it. And the Gemara says, maybe there is a hidden pasuk. Right? Maybe the pasuk that we have tells you to go from voluntary ola to obligatory ola. And then once you're in obligatory ola, so then you can cross the axis of obligation to shlamim, and therefore this would be even according to Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, my shna, mishal me nidava, delo gamri. Now why would you think that this is true, right? That you don't learn it from voluntary shlamim. Shekein mitzuyin me'olas. I'm sure shekein mitzuyin because they're common, right? So what that has to do with anything? But maybe they're different because they're common. So the Gemara says me'olas chova nami lo gamri shekein kolil. You also shouldn't be able to cross the axis of obligation from ola to shlamim, because ola is unique in the sense that it's fully burnt and shlamim is not. So why?
Shalmei Nedava is common?
Yes.
More than...
Because of todos, I think. Because right? Whenever you bring a toda, it's a Shalmei Nedava, right? So you're always bringing those. So why commonality has anything to do with smicha? Yeah. Unclear, but the point is that it's distinct, therefore, from Shalmei Chova, which are rarer. So the Gemara said, maybe you can't cross the Ola Shlamim axis, even though you're on the, right, you're on the axis of Chova. Right, just think of it as a, right, we're on a grid, right? You have Ola Shlamim and you have Chova, right? One axis is whether it's Chova or, right, whether it's voluntary or obligatory. The other axis is what type of carbon it is, right? And the question is, which quadrant can you more likely go to, right? Can you go across the x-axis or the y-axis, right? You have four possibilities, and which way are you crossing? So Gemara says, Asa mibinyana, why don't you just learn it from, right? Abinyana, you learn from both. Resamri Beis Shammai Shalmei Chova Lo Bo Smicha. The Gemara said, does Beis Shammai really hold that there is no smicha for obligatory shlamim? Vatanya, but the Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Yosi Lo Nechoku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Ala Smicha Asma. Now, where did this all come? Our Mishnah had said that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argue about whether you bring karbanos with smicha on Yantif. Right, so we go back to our Mishnah, right? Now we're back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had said, Beis Shammai Omrim, your Testament Aleph, Beis Shammai Omrim Bevin Shlomim, Bein Somchen Alein, Avalo Olos, Ubeis Hillel Omrim Bevin Shlomim Olos, Vesomchen Alein. So now the Gemara says, okay, there's two possible ways of understanding Machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Are they arguing about whether you can do smicha, you can bring the carbon on Yontif with smicha, which the Gemara will explain that, or are they arguing about whether you need smicha at all? Meaning they agree you can't do smicha on Yontif. The question is, can you bring the carbon at all? So the Gemara says, we have a braisa as follows. First possibility is they aren't arguing about whether you need smicha. Shetzarech, right? Everyone agrees you need smicha. Al ma nechleku? Al tekef l'smicha shchita. What they're arguing about is whether... Shchita needs smicha, right? Leaning on the animal needs to be done immediately prior to shchita. Beis Shammai on remain otzarech. Beis Shammai says it doesn't, right? It doesn't need to be done, and therefore it's not that you can't bring the carbon; it's that you can't do the smicha. You can do the smicha on erev yantif and then bring the carbon on yantif. And Beis Hillel is saying you can even do the smicha on yantif because smicha must be done immediately prior to shchita. Beis Hillel on otzarech. So the Gemara says, "Huda Amar Ki Haytana." He holds like the other Brisa. Detanya Amar of Yosi, Rabbi Huda Lo Nechlu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. I'll take him the smicha shchita. They're not arguing about when to do smicha. Shetzarech Aman Nechlu Gol Smicha Atzma. They're arguing about whether or not you need smicha. Shebeis Shammai Omrim. In the case of Shalmei Chova, is that what we're on now? Chova. Yes, Shalmei Chova. Shebeis Shammai Omrim Eino Tzarech. Beis Hillel Omrim Tzarech. The Beis Shammai says you don't need. Beis Hillel says you indeed need. Okay, so we have two positions the Gemara is toying with, right? Do Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue whether you need smicha at all for shalmei cholah, right? For obligatory shlamim. Or no, they agree that in theory you do. The question is, can you break up the shechit and the smicha? According to Beis Shammai, you can't. You can't. You can, and therefore you would have to do smicha on erev yontif. If you didn't, you couldn't bring the karban. Right? Beis Hillel says no, you can't break them up, and therefore if you can bring the karban, you can do smicha on yontif as well. And that's what the Gemara says. So what I want to do, it'll probably this will definitely take us 2 weeks, I think. Right? Is try to understand this thing called smicha. Right? What is smicha? Right? Where does it come from? We're going to do the basics. I'm basically following, for 70% of it, Rav Lichtenstein. Because I remember when I tried to sit down and learn the sugya, I was baffled to no end. It's an extremely complicated, convoluted sugya. It spans several blot in Menachot. But Rav Aaron has it turned into an article. I think it was a shiur he gave, which someone wrote up for him just a few years ago, in a journal called Malin Bakodesh, which if you ever feel like learning Kachim, it's a very nice journal, put out by Karmi Tzur. It has a limited number of authors, as is to be expected, but one of them was Rav Lichtenstein, and he has an article on smicha. Okay. So, before we can get into the nitty-gritty of our sugya, right, and figure out what is going on here in the specifics of Yom Tov, and like, we just need to understand what is smicha at all, where does it come from, what's its purpose, all that. Okay. So first thing you gotta know is that this machlokes, right, that we're talking about is the oldest machlokes that we know of, basically, in the Mishnah. It was this machlokes that spanned generations. If you look at the first source, in the Chagiga, there's a Mishnah Chagiga. Yossi ben Yoezer, right, remember from the beginning of Pirkei Avos, right, all the Zugot, right, all the people who ruled together, right, who were Nasi and Rosh HaBezdin, so they had a perpetual machlokes. Yossi ben Yoezer omer shalo lismoch. Yossi ben Yochanan omer lismoch. Yeshua ben Prachya omer shalo lismoch. Nidai Arbeli omer lismoch. Yehuda ben Tabai omer shalo lismoch. Shemun Shatach omer lismoch. Shemai omer lismoch. Avtalian omer shalo lismoch. Hillel Menachem lo nechleku. Right? So you had first generation after Shimon, right? So you had Anshe Knesset Gedola, then you have Shimon HaTzadik. After Shimon HaTzadik, you have, right? Then you have the first Zugot. So they argue. The next generation argues. So this is Mishnah. Sorry, you have Antigonus Yisogo first in Mishnah Gimel, right? After Antigonus Yisogo, you have Mishnah Dalet and Hayin, the first paragraph of Brigavas is Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. Then you have Vav and Zayin, Yeshua ben Prach and Itar Bailey. And then Ches and Tes, Yehuda ben Tabai and Shem ben Shaddach. And then the next two are Shmai and Avtalion. And then Hillel and Menachem rule together, and they didn't argue. But then Yatsa Menachem, right? Menachem retired. V'nichnas Shammai, Shammai Omer Shalol Lismoch, Omer Lismoch, and they argued about it also. So you had this over, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 generations, right? 6 generations of Zugot, right? They were arguing about this question. Lismoch, lo lismoch, lismoch, lo lismoch, lismoch, lo lismoch, etc. Until they resolve it in our Gemara, right? In our Gemara, they're going to come to a conclusion, but otherwise they argued, right? Sometimes you have this. You have machlokot that just go for generations. It gets very intense, because anyone who takes a stand knows that they are whatever.
This is lismach on Yontif.
Well, no, that's what the Gemara is going to figure out, right? Is okay. The same way it's ambiguous in our Mishnah, it was ambiguous in this Mishnah. The Gemara in Chagiga is a parallel to ours, where it says, we don't know what they were arguing about, but whatever this machlokas is, which our Gemara says there's two possibilities, they argued about for 6 consecutive generations on the the head of the Sanhedrin. Okay, it reminds me, we once had in Gush, so Rav Aaron told at some point in Shir, someone told me this, because this was years ago, that there was a, whatever sugya it was, the Beis Halevi took one position, and then Reb Chaim argued on him. Right, so that started off a pattern of father and son arguing in the Brisker family. So the Beis Halevi held X, and the Reb Chaim held not X. And then the Briskerov held, or maybe it was Ramosha Soloveitchik, argued with Reb Chaim and defended his grandfather. Right, I think it was Ramosha. And then the Rav argued with his father and agreed with Reb Chaim against the Beis Halevi, and then Rav Aaron argued on the Rav, agreed with Rav Moshe, who had agreed with the Beis Halevi, right? And then he apparently said this in Shir when Rav Moshe was still in Shir, like, you know, 30 years ago, and Rav Moshe left the room because he couldn't handle the stress because he didn't want to be the sixth consecutive generation, right, and have to take sides. So that was what happened here. What? Exactly, right? And they can, it will be their problem. Okay, so. Okay, so then the. And then the Gemara just said, the Mishnah just says that how you reshonim, how you nisim, ishneim lahem, base. Ah, thanks. Visham omrim, mevian shlomim, vein somchen alem, avala olos, besil omrim, mevian shlomim, va olos, vesomchen alem. Right, so this Mishnah appears as well in Chagiga. Okay, so just to know that this is the oldest, one of the oldest machlokot we have historically. Okay, so now, what is smicha? When do we have it, and why do we have it when we have it? So if we look at the Mishnah number 2, kol karbonon hatzibor, ein lohem smicha. Public karbanos have no smicha. There are no owners, and the owners therefore can't put their hands on top of the karban. Except, chutz min hapara bal kol hamitzvos, except for when Bezdin makes a mistake, right, and more than half of Kali Yisrael follows them, so then they have to bring a karban, right, the par helam davar shal tzibor. So when you bring that karban, then you do have to do smicha. Usir mishtaleach, right? And on Yom Kippur, when you send off the par, so again, the seir, that's, again, a karban sibur, but Aaron does put his hands on it and does vidui. Rav Shimon Omer, af seirei avodah zarah, the same thing is true of Kol Yisrael violates avodah zarah. And kol karbonos hayachet dun in smicha, and all private karbonos, it's individual karbonos, do need smicha. Chutz min ha-bechor, v'ha-maiser, v'ha-pesach, v'ha-yoresh, so mechu mevi nisachem u'meimir, except for bechor, right, when you bring your firstborn animal, and maiser behema, and the karbon pesach, those do not need smicha, and your heirs can do smicha, and bring nisachem, right, and they can violate tmura, right, they can try to switch the karbonos and create all the problems that come with that.
What's the relevance of tmura?
To show that he's the actual owner of the karban, right? Only the owner of a karban can do tzmura, right? If someone who isn't an owner tries to switch the karban, it's meaningless. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Now, so if I asked you just conceptually, right, why would it be that only public, that only private karbanos need smicha and not public ones? What logic is there to say that smicha, the notion that the owner has to take his hands, put it on the karban, and either say vidui or say something else, as we'll see in the Rambam, why would that only apply to private karbanos, individual karbanos?
Right, to make sure that he's doing the karban properly, or he's involved in the karban.
Right, so the properly, right, I think it's less...
Properly, but more that he's... You know, that he's involved in the sequence.
Whatever. Right, that he's involved, right? The simple understanding would be to say, right, that the fact that smicha is limited to individual karbanos is another way of saying it's limited to karbanos where the owner is identifiable. And when the owner is identifiable, you want him to be involved. You want him to connect to his karban. And what smicha is, physically, is he puts his whole weight on the animal, right? That's how we paskin, as we would call kocho, right? So that's, right, by his whole weight, that means if the animal would move, he would fall over, right? He has to, right, lean and be supported by the animal. And while he's doing that, he has to say, if it's, let's say it's a chatos, he has to do vidui with his hands on the animal, where he's connecting to the animal. Or in the Lumdish terminology, it's a din bailim, right? That it's an obligation, not that the karban needs it, is that when there is an identifiable owner, so the owner needs to connect himself to his karban. The way he does that is by physically grabbing a hold of it and saying, this is my karban because I sinned, or this is my karban for, we'll see what else I might have done, that I need to bring a karban. But he needs to connect to it. A karban sibur doesn't have that. There is no one person. It's owned by the collective. So who is going to take it? The kohen, who's representative? Right? He's not really the owner, he's just doing it on behalf of everybody. But there already isn't going to be that visceral connection. right? It's a halachic statement. I bring this on behalf of Kol Yisrael, but there is no visceral connection between the owner and the karban.
So would you not be saying that every karban needs smicha, but in some karbanot you can't accomplish smicha because there's
right, it would be meaningless, or it would be meaningless, right?
So it's not why we have smicha for karban yachid. It's we don't have smicha for korban sibur because it can't be done
correct.
Properly.
Right, and that would be
the case of the kohen gadol, and because
if this is the case, so how would we explain the exceptions? And we're going to get Rav Chaim is going to summarize all this, but right, this mishnah, the symbolism.
I suppose bird korbanos kind of hard to.
Yeah, it would be hard with birds. Yes,
also, some of them
yes.
have zeras klasos saying that who's the person that does the smicha, does the bidui.
Right, so those will point in a certain direction as well when there are Gzeres HaKasu. But even just looking at the list, right, why is it that these obviously have Gzeres HaKasu? That's why the Shemesh Aleich has one. But if we look at the Karbanos in the list of the mission, it actually makes a lot of sense. Because what cases will be different? So one of them, which is easy, is the Sirah Mishtaleach. Right, the Sirah Mishtaleach, right, the Kohen Gadol is not acting like in his normal role. Right, Yom Kippur, he is Kal Yisrael embodied, right? And he is now carrying on his shoulders, right, the weight of Klal Yisrael's sins, and he is going to put it onto the seer. So there needs to be a visceral connection between the representative of Klal Yisrael, not just the person who happens to be doing the avoda, but the Kohen Gadol beyom HaKippurim and the Seer Mekdalayah, right? It makes it, right, even just like intuitively, we jump to that. Par HaBal Kol HaMitzvos, right, Par HaMdavar Shel Tzibur is going to make sense also, but we'll come back to why that makes sense in a minute. And the exceptions in the other direction, right? What cases of Karban Yachid don't get smicha? So, Bechor. Now, why Bechor? Because Kadosh Mirechem. It becomes holy without you sanctifying. It's not really yours. It's just that any time a firstborn animal is born, it goes directly to the Kohen. You have to bring it to him, but it's not really, you're not connected to it, right? It was always the Kohen's, right? Or, right, Maaser. Right? Maaser, again, it's not yours. You bring it to the Kohen because you owe 10% to the Kohen, right? It's a carbon that emphasizes not your connection to the carbon, but your disconnect from the carbon, right? I'm separating and bringing it to the going. And the carbon Pesach is just unique, right? Carbon Pesach, you may bring it, but you bring it by half on a group. It has to be brought by a group, right? It never has only one owner. It needs to be brought by Chabura, right? So in that sense, it's more Tzibur, even though it's technically an individual carbon, it's a carbon which is never brought by one person. There's never one owner. It's always a group. And you can't have everybody put your hands on just like a carbon seaboard. It makes no sense. By Karban Pesach, it makes no sense. So you just look at the list, right, and you could construct a shita that what smicha is about is when possible, when it makes sense, you're supposed to create that intrinsic connection between the owner and the carbon.
It's almost like a form of kinya.
Right.
And for something like a Bechor, it's like there's a Zika that's already there.
Correct. And like the way Rav Lichtenstein likes saying it, I don't know if I remember this part of it or not. No, he just references it. He doesn't explain himself. But Rav Aaron, in a different article, which in his Sefer HaMizrachim, notes from the Griz, that when we talk about owners by Karbanos, we don't talk about the monetary owners, right? Because that's irrelevant in Karbanos. The owner, in the context of Karbanos, is the Mitkaper. There's the person who's being atoned for by the Karban. Right, and Raram points out that makes sense in the concept of smicha because it's the kinyan, so to speak. Right, karbanos aren't about who owns it; it's about who is connected to it, who's going to get kapara,
right,
and therefore you need to.
Kinyan. It's a demonstration of bilus,
right, or bilus or connect. It's just connection, right? It's not bilus is the wrong word, right? That's what is. That's the Grizz's point.
Bilus is monetary, but
right, exactly. The Grizz's point is that when we talk about owners of carbon, what we mean is the person who's going to get the results of the carbon, right? Who's going to be atoned for by the carbon. Right, exactly. Right, the mitkaper. Okay. So, Rav Aaron notes that the first way of understanding smicha is to say that it's a din bailim. It's a way that we connect owners to karbanos so that they can identify with it. And therefore, it's limited to karbanos where there's an identifiable owner who has an intrinsic connection to the karban. And what's excluded is public karbanos, except for ones which do have a connection. Right, like Sirah Mishtaleach, and we'll see why in a minute on Par HaBal Kol HaMitzvos, and it's private karbanos. You need smicha with the exception of karbanos, which they are private, but you'll already sort of dissociated from the karban, like Bechor and Maaser. Okay, he notes that this is supported in number 3 as well. Tana Rabbana, Kol HaKarbanos Tzibur Ein Bahem Smicha Chutz Mi Par HaBal Kol HaMitzvos U'Seirei Ovde Kochavim, right? The only exceptions are when Bezdin makes the mistake and has to bring a carbon for Klal Yisrael for having made a mistake, right? And the in the same with Avodah Zarah. Divrei Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda Omer, Si Reb Chavim Ein Bam Smicha. Even that will not need smicha. Then me avitach dehem. So which one will I put in here? Sarah Mishaleach. So the Gemara says Lo Sagid Lo Maya. Why do you have to add a second to the list? So Ravina Gmirish De Smichas Betzibah. There's a Misora that there were two karbanos. They argued: is it para habal kol mitzvos and sira avodas kol chavim, or is it para habal kol mitzvos and sira mishaleach? Amar Lo Reb Shimon Valo Ein Smicha Ella Bibaylim. He said this is basically what the Gemara says. The Gemara said, but how could it be that the Seer HaMishtaleach has smicha? Ein smicha ela bebailim. V'zeh Aron uvanim sochim bo. The Seer HaMishtaleach, who's putting his hands on it? Aron, is Aron the miskaper? Is Aron the owner? And the Gemara answers, yes. Amar lo, avzeh Aron uvanim miskaper bo. Yes, it is a kapara for Aron and the Kohanim, right, and Kol Yisrael. So they are in fact, right, first and foremost, they're bringing it not just as representatives. The reason Seer HaMishtaleach is different is because the Kohanim are not just acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael, right? Not like I said before. It's more than that. They're bringing it because they're also miskaper. They're also being forgiven. So this is their korban too. So Aaron can put his hands on it and he can do smicha because he is the owner. He is the miskaper. And the Gemara says it pretty much point blank that the goal of smicha, at least one of the goals of smicha, is to connect the Bailim, to connect the owners to their karban. So then Rav Aaron says, okay, fine. But what about par helam davar shel tzibur? Right, when Beis Din makes a mistake, and then more than 50% of Klal Yisrael follows their psak. So, very nice. So they all sinned. But in the end of the day, it's a karban tzibur. So where does Beis Din get off doing smicha? So then Rav Aaron says, well, Paralim Dover Shidol Tzibor is a little bit different. He says, why is it that a Karban Tzibor you don't do smicha? So he said, how do you view Tzibor? Right, when you say the community, what is the community? Is a community the sum of its parts, or is it some idea, right? The community, the nation, right? The state. It's some idea, it's some concept,
like
which is
concept like Knesset Yisrael.
Right, exactly. It's Knesset Yisrael. It's a concept that is beyond the sum of its parts. So Varen says, normally, a Karban Tzibur, right, Tzibur in the context of Karban Tzibur is the state, right, is the nation. It's not a bunch of people, right, it's not a lot of people.
It's a corporate identity.
Yeah, it's a corporate identity, right, that's the word I'm looking for, right, that's usually what I use and it slipped my mind. But yeah, a corporate identity, right, there is nobody there, right, there is, as the Rugged Shepherd calls a corporation, it's Tzura without Chomer, right, it's form without matter, right, it exists in the ephemeral world in some sense, right, on paper, right, the lawyers can explain to me in what sense a corporation exists, but there is no, like, there's no or limited liability to the people who are actually in the corporation because they don't really exist as far as the corporation cares. They are whatever. They're right, the stewards of the corporation, but they are not part of the corporation. Okay. Paralim Dever Shel Tzibur, is that true? Yes, it's being brought for all of Klal Yisrael, but is it being brought Klal Yisrael the nation? Or is it being brought for Klal Yisrael, the millions of people who happen to be in Klal Yisrael? How would you test it? So Rav Aaron says, it's very simple. Where does the money come from for the Paralim Davar Shel Tzibur? So normal Karban Tzibur, where does the money come from? The Lishka. Where does the money for the Paralim Davar Shel Tzibur come from? A new collection. So you look at number four. The Rambam says, "Av a paralim davar shel tzibur sirav adazara b'tchila govin lan ve'einan ban mitrumas alishka." You have a separate collection for it, right? So Rav Aaron says, "Why is paralim davar shel tzibur different? Because when Beis Din brings the carbon on behalf of Klal Yisrael, they're not bringing it on behalf of the corporate entity who has no personality. They're bringing it as the shliach of the individual people, right? Of all 6 million people that happen to be in Klal Yisrael, right? Of all 12 million people that happen to be in Klal Yisrael. However many people are in Klal Yisrael at the time when they bring the karban, they are a shliach of each and every one. And therefore, you need a new collection because this is a private karban of 6, 10, 15 million people. So it does have a owner. It has a master. It has a miskaper. And therefore, Rav Aaron argues, if you just follow the progression of the Mishnah, the Gemara, and try to understand the rules plus their exceptions, the rule is any carbon that has an identifiable owner, someone who's connected to it, whether that's an individual or many people, but not some faceless, nameless corporate entity, you can create a connection between the carbon and the person, so you need smicha.
Bezdin.
So that's an interesting question. It's a bit of a... It never says in Shas, right, who does the smicha. There's a Tosefta in Menachos that has a discussion of it, right? And there's a Griz in Tzmura that has a discussion about that, and that's what I know. Because whenever Rav Shechter talks about this, right, I don't know if you've ever seen Rav Shechter give his Parsha Shir, right? He just sort of opens the Psukim and says, oh, this reminds me of this, this reminds me of this, this reminds me of this. And I remember the first Parsha Shir I went to, he opens up something in Bereishis, I don't know, whatever it was, and he opens up, oh, this reminds me of the Tosefta in the 10th Parak of Menachos, Tosefta Bet, with the Griz's discussion, Tmura Daf Dalet, about Smicha and Parhalim Davar Shel Tzibur. Right, that was, right, what it reminded him of course, that's what it reminded him of, right, because I knew that off the top of my head. But, I mean, now I do, I remember that moment very clearly when I realized how much, you know, how broad Rav Shechter's knowledge was. So that's a question, who exactly does it, but there is a discussion about that question. But someone's going to do it and represent.
But based on what you say, anybody should be able to do it.
Right. Well, part of the question by Parhalim Davar Shel Tzibur is what role does Bezdin have? Right? Are they bringing it qua Bezdin, or is it they're also implicated? Because remember, they were the one who paskined. Right? So Bezdin has multiple roles. They are the poskim who caused the problem, but they're also the representative body of Kal Yisrael. So
there's the other thing you would argue is that Parhalim Davar Shel Tzibur
is really for that.
For the Beit Din, they do the
right, and that's why getting into the details is hard, right? But anyway, what you see is it's not a normal carbon tzibur. It is made up of individuals, and right, there are people who we can actually hang the responsibility on. Okay. Yeah.
The way that you're explaining it, is smicha an integral part of the korban, or is smicha a mitzvah in itself?
So this way I'm explaining, so far possibility one is that it's a mitzvah for the owners to connect themselves to the carbon, it's not intrinsic to the carbon. Okay. Right? And that's what we're going to come back to. Because remember, we're going to come back to our Gemara, but we need to set up but that's going to be important in our Gemara, yes. Okay. Right? This is spelling out possibility one, that it's a din in the Bailim, that it's a mitzvah for the owners to connect themselves to the carbon. But it's not about the carbon, it's about the connection. Right? You have a mitzvah to create a connection to the carbon.
Right. And yes. If you're going in that direction, okay, then if you do the smicha, and then before it becomes a korban, something happens to cause the carbon to be puzzled.
You'd have to do it. You might have to do it again because you have to connect to the carbon. Yeah,
but you have actually been yotzi the mitzvah, a smicha, so to speak.
Maybe, right? Maybe. I mean, you have to figure out what exactly the mitzvah is. Is it to do the smicha or to bring the carbon that you did smicha on?
Well, I'm thinking more Beit Shammai with the delay doing it.
Well, right, but that's what we're going to come back to, right? We're going to come back to the two. Right. Keep this in mind, right? Because the question of are they arguing about whether you need smicha at all or how close does smicha have to be to the carbon comes down to this question. That's what Rav Aaron's going to argue, is that the question of whether you need tekev smicha shchita is going to be how much do you view smicha as part of the carbon and how much is a mitzvah on the owner, right? That's exactly where we're going with this, but that's why I want to start just by understanding smicha, because then everything else will fall into place much smoother. Rav Aaron then explains... one more Gemara which proves this point. If you look in 5, it's a Sadi Beis Amid Beis. Like I said, the sugya of smicha is two blot menachos. So you look at number 5, the Gemara says as follows. Kol karbonos hayochid tu'unin smicha. Chos mi b'chor ma'aser pesach. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan. Why? Karbono v'lo ha'b'chor. It's your karbon and not the b'chor. She'yocho v'lo dinu. Because you might have thought, look, it's logical. U'mash shlomim she'en kedushas on me'rechem tunin smicha. If shlomim, which aren't holy from the moment they're born, need smicha b'chor she'kedushas on me'rechem. B'chor is always holy. Eino din she'ton smicha. Tamalomar karbono v'lo b'chor. No. It's your karbon. The emphasis is in how holy the karbon is, right? It's not about the holier something is, the more you need smicha. The question is, how much is the karbon yours? Right? Karbono. So then the Gemara says, and kroyas machta ba'alma. The Gemara ends up rejecting and saying, no, it's a misora. It's only an asmachta. But Rav says, okay, fine. But still, even if it's an asmachta, what are Chazal illustrating by the asmachta being the word karbono? They're telling you it's not about Kedusha, it's not about how holy this carbon is. It's the type of carbonos that are connected to an O, right? To a him, to a somebody that needs it. And he says, why? Why should this be true? So he said, if you look at Rashi in the Ksav Yad, right? There's two Rashis in Menachos. There's the Rashi, and then there's the Rashi Miksav Yad on the bottom. So Rashi in the Miksav Yad says, what is Karbano? Karbano Sheba Lishem Ritzui V'daron. Your Karban, which is brought to ingratiate yourself with God as a present to God. Lo Bechor Ma'aser U'Pesach She'enum Ba'am L'Ritzui. These aren't Karbanos which are brought for you to create your relationship with God. Elochovahim Allah V'lo L'Kapara. They're an obligation. But they don't do anything for you. They don't atone for you. You owe the Karban. You owe the Bechor. You owe the Ma'aser. But it's not relating to you. You're not, right? It's not atoning for your soul. And that's why you're not connected. If you're not connected, you don't need smicha. And then he points to the Rambam. He says, and if you look at the Rambam, just listen to the language of the Rambam. The Rambam invents a new category, right? He says, Ketza Zomech, how do you do smicha? Im haya karban kodesh kadashim, if it's kodesh kadashim, amido bitzafa. So put it in the north, upanav l'mayra face west, vasomech omid b'mizrach, and the one who's doing the smicha stands in the east, upanav l'mayra face west, umanech shtey yadav bein shtey karnav, and you put your two hands between the two horns. Umizvade al chatas avon, chatas al asham al avon, asham, and you admit your sins for the chatas, for the asham. Ala ola misvade avon asei, v'avon lo sasei shenitak laasei. And for an ola, you do a vidui on positive mitzvahs you haven't done, or negative commands that can be fixed with aseis. Ketzav misvada, omer chatasi, visi, bashati, vasiti, kach lekach, lechazarti, betshuva lefanecha, vizu kaparasi. You say, I've sinned, and I've done tshuva, and this is my atonement. Now, all that is in the Gemara. But the Rambam then comes up with something new. Haya karban shlamim, what if it's a shlamim, somech b'chol makom, sheyirtza min ha'azara b'makom shchita. So actually, the Ola one is also his chiddush, I think. No, it is in the Gemara. A little bit complicated, but fine. If it's a shlamim, so what do you say? Right, the Gemara never says what you say by a shlamim. The Rambam invents something. He says, yearly, I think, she'eno misvada al shlamim. You don't say a vidui. Aval omre divei shevach. But you have to praise. You have to say something. So where did you get the notion that you must say something? It must be. There's no evidence in the Gemara that by a shlamim you say anything. How did he know that you need to at least say something? So Varan says, logically, if you think that the whole point of smicha is that the bailin, the owner, has to identify with the karban, then you gotta do something. You gotta say something. You gotta say, this is mine. I remember I discussed this once with Rav Krumbein, right? Rav Yaakov Krumbein, who's one of the Sholem Yeshivim and Yeshiva, who's one of these like quiet geniuses who just is very quiet and knows everything. And, you know, he doesn't doesn't have a booming voice, but like if you ask him, sometimes he'll just sort of quietly come up with something that you realize, you know, he's integrated all of Torah. So we said, like, all the Acharim say, yeah, we don't know where the Rambam got it. Like, where did the Rambam come from? And he just looked at me and said, he got it from Mizmor Lasoda. And I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. Of course that's where he got it from, right? There's a Perek at Tehillim that says that there is a Mizmor written that's supposed to be said at a Toda. Where else would the Rambam have got it from? Okay, so that's probably the case, right? That he just sort of looked at Tehillim, and we have such a thing, right? We have a Mizmor that says this was meant to be said when you bring a Toda, and a Toda is a type of Shlomim. So the Rambam, I don't think, made it up. But still, the fact that Rambam is convinced with no Gemara, albeit with a pasuk, right, that you have to say something, just emphasizes that fact that the point of smicha is over and over again to find a way of identifying the karban with its owner. So now we come to Rav Aharon. This is his article, Smicha Bikodshem Malin Bikodesh Hay. So he says, Pitachnu b'sifa kodem et havanat ha-smicha kedin b'va'alei ha-karban. We opened up the understanding that smicha is a halacha that relates to the owners of the karban. Ra'inu. She'ein de din stami. Hamutzmad beofen otamati lechol karban sheish lo baylem. Right? It's not some generic halacha that automatically connects to every carbon which has an owner. Zeudin should be mahalachonim arim divrei vidui yeshev. It's a process. It's part of a process by which you say vidui, right? You confess or you praise. Valkain hu takev rak bekarbonot shel daron, and therefore, based on Rashi, it only relates to karbonot which are either presents to God, ritzui o kapara. Karbonot eileim olot. Which karbonot are those? Those are olot, chataot ushlamim. Habachor va hamaser va pesach. Mimuatin b'dismicha, right? We saw the exceptions, right? The Bechor, Ma'aser, and Pesach are excluded. Lamroch yesh lem b'alim, even though they have an owner. Hatam na'utz b'diyuk b'nekuda shel el, and it's based on this point that we just made. Ein mahem pan shel ritzu v'kapara, because they are not about ingratiating yourself with God. They're not about atonement. Ein mahem makom levidu l'divrei shevach. So where are you going to praise or confess? For what? This is just you're just paying back a loan. V'lachein lo nidresh b'am smicha. But then he says, okay, so you have two extremes. You have a karban chatas. You sinned. You bring a karban. You need to connect to it, and you say vidui. And then you have bechor, which you owe the karban to the kohen something. You're not connected to it. You pay it off. No smicha. Is there anything in between? Is there anything which is not quite as obviously yours as a chatas, and not so obviously not yours as a bechor? So Varan says, yeah. Bein shnei gvulot hagzerot halalu yesh gam roved beinayim. There's a middle ground. What is that? Anu nisanef l'roved beinayim and ha'asham ve'olad achovah. I would put two types of karbana: the asham, which you bring when you're not sure if you did a sin, and the obligatory ola. L'halal nevayer madu yesh l'makem et karbanon halal roved beinayim ach min b'chinam ma'asit. Is that I'll explain in a minute why this is true. But mashma'ut roved zehu he shal halacha. But what's the halachic status of this? And this is very clever. Yesh smicha bekarbanon elu. We paskin that you have smicha both by ashram and by olad chova, as our Gemara said. Lamroch ein pasuk meforash mityaches lakach. But there's no explicit pasuk that tells you that. Niftach beolad chova. Let's go to olad chova, which is what our Gemara was talking about. Remember? How do you know you need smicha by olad chova? Right? We learn it from Nidava. And what's the pasuk? Vayaseh kamishpat. So Varan says as follows. This is very clever. Niftach ba'olat, not that Varan needs my haskama. Niftach ba'olat chova. Kidugman, nikachat olat riyah. Let's say the ola, right? The ola you bring on Yontif. If we would measure it based on the criteria of does this ingratiate you to God or provide atonement, we would say it doesn't need smicha. Right? It's an obligation. You bring it when you go for yantif. But once we said that because most olot are wrong as ritzui, and therefore as a category olot need, it started as a din b'bayalim and turns into a law for all olot. Talich ze mingiv chovat smicha gam balad chovah. Le'ora pasuk haba. And how do we get that? How does he know, right? How does he get this, right? Is he just making it up? He says, no. What's the pasuk? Vayikrevet ha'olah vayaseh kam mishpat. What does our Gemara say? Gemara bebeitz achaf lomedet mikan she mishpat olat hachova hu ki mishpat olat nedava. The only reason that an obligatory ola needs smicha is because we learn it formally from nedava. Hamashma'ur hilchatit he sheyesh chovat smicha b'olat chova, which tells you that you have smicha kishem sheyesh kazu b'olat nedava. Hasmicha avchal lechelek, quote, mi mishpat ha'ola. Right, it needs it because once you said that most olot need it, because on a fundamental level they need it, it becomes part of the process of ola. And therefore, even the olot which logically shouldn't need it, they get it. But he said, listen to the difference of the psukim. The Gemara said, how do you know normal smicha? Right, for example, by shlamim and not bechor. Korbano, right? You and not something that's not yours. But the pasuk that we learn olat chova from has nothing to do with you. It's a pro forma drasha that you have to do it like the laws of olah. So he says it's a middle case. It's part of the category of korbano that normally needs smicha, so it needs smicha. But as the pasuk itself tells you, it's only because it's kamishpat. It's like the laws of other olot. But on a fundamental level, it doesn't really have the same identity as other olos because right, it's not for kapara. You're bringing it as a chov when you go for yantif. So he says, "Dugman osefet." The other example is Hashayach l'roven abeinayim he karban ha'asham. The other is the asham. Gam ba'asham lo muskeret smicha b'mforash. Asham also has no pasuk. Ah, huton smicha, but it does in fact need smicha. In nilmad b'toch hekesh klali shel karban asham l'karban chatat, and it's based on a general comparison between asham and chatat. He said, I'm kani shlach, but now I have to ask the question. Wait a second. Hare karban ha'asham u'karban kapar muvak. Isn't an asham about forgiveness? U'maduat tzarech lahagniv oto el chovar ha'smicha derech delet achorit shel hakesh. Why do you have to sneak it in through the back door and compare it to a chatas? Says, ha'tshuva nutza behevdel miuti bin chatat levin ha'asham. So this comes to the fundamental difference between these two karbana. Hachata noada lekapara al hachet. Acha'asham b'yosodo eno mechaper al hachet. Sham rak magen al adam b'pnei ha'mavet o ha'yisurim shemagim kitotza'a min hachet. The way the Rishonim explain it is that achatas is brought because you sinned. An asham is when you're not sure if you sinned in such a way that you need achatas. So you're in a weird state because you need to protect yourself. You might have sinned and now you need atonement. But you don't know whether you sinned. So what do? An asham protects you until you figure out whether you sinned, and if you did, then you have to bring a chatas. So it's related to the karban chatas, because it's what buys you time, so to speak, in the spiritual realm, until you figure out whether you need a chatas. But a fundamental level, there shouldn't be a full vidui, because you don't know if you sinned. Right? So it's sort of like a chatas and sort of like a not. So there's no pasuk that tells you need smicha, but we learn it out from chatas, because insofar as it's sort of similar to chatas, so formally it follows the same thing. So Rav Aaron's first shita is to say, possibility one is that smicha is the way that you take a karbon, which is fundamentally connected to either the kapara of an individual, or his ability to thank God and give a present to God and improve his relationship with God, these karbonot where his personal relationship is critical, and you force him to put his hand on the animal and say something that connects him and says, this is mine. The karbonot where that aspect is so front and center, the Torah itself tells you, v'samach. Then there are karbonot which are not at all like that, like bechor, where I owe the bechor, it doesn't do anything for me, I just owe it. So you don't need smicha at all. And then there are karbonot which are somewhere in between. And the way the Torah expresses that they're somewhere in between is by saying you need smicha, but never having a pasuk for it. Right? Because it's not the primary understanding of smicha. It's an ancillary halacha. Olat chova, one's most olot, are the types of things that you bring to create a relationship with God. So even those exceptions to the rule, they look like other olot. So vayaseh akam mishpat, so do what you do with other olot. But know that conceptually it's not like the other olot. And asham as well. Do it like a chatas, because it's connected to chatas in the sense that if you did sin, then the asham is your pre-chatas. But it's obviously not really your kapara, because if you find out you sinned, you have to bring the chatas anyways. And maybe you didn't sin, and then the asham was just a protective measure. So it's sort of connected to you, and sort of not. And therefore, it finds itself a middle category in halacha. You need smicha, but there's no pasuk telling you.
But is he saying it's the same smicha, or is he saying there's two types of smicha?
So he says. So he seems to be saying there's two types of smicha, right? There's one
that's convinced by one that's integral to the
carbon. Exactly, right? And that's where we're going to get to. It's possibility two, right? He's saying this one becomes part of the carbon process, right? Formally, right? But the question is whether all smicha becomes like that, right? Because here he's bringing an example of something which, on a violent level, doesn't really make sense, but becomes part of the karban. The question we then have to ask, which we'll get to next week, is it possible that this is really what all smicha is about? Right? That smicha starts, the concept behind it is that there needs to be a connection between the owner and the karban. But once you institute it, right, it becomes part of the karban, right? You take this conceptual idea and then you formalize it and say, no, it's not a mitzvah on the owner, it's a part of the karban. So that's possibility two, which is what we'll get to. But just to finish up his sikum, he says, "Lisikum, yesh lanu shlosha kvutzot. Kvutza achat, karbanot habayin l'daron. First category is the karbanot, which are straight up gifts. Ritzui v'kapara. Be'elu, yesh smicha. These have smicha, kechova hamutelet al ba'alei ha'karban. Right? They're like smicha that devolve on the owners. Their point is to make the individual turn towards God, either in words of confessional or with praise, before he brings his karban. Kusashniya is karbanot she'ena mevatim et hakesher shbein adam levein hakadosh baruch hu. Or karbanot that have nothing to do with your connection to God. They're just obligations. Elohim b'chor ma'aser v'pesach hu b'hem ein smicha. And kusashlishit olat chova v'asham. These are in the middle case. Uvo, yesh smicha. There is smicha. But only as an expansion from category one. So possibility one is that the role of smicha is it a din bialim that the owner needs to connect himself to the karban. You have those that make sense, those that don't need it at all, and those which pro forma we say you need it, but they become right, they're not really about the owner at all. Possibility two, which we'll have to open next week, is no, maybe all this is true philosophically, but what smicha is in the end of the day is part of hakrabat hakarbano. And as how he already sees where we're going with this, right, this question is going to seemingly be what's behind the machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai of can you have a possibility of having smicha which is not connected to the carbon, right, to the bringing of the carbon, right? If you think that it's just a way of connecting the owner, so you could have at least suggested that you can do smicha if you need to, not right before. Just make sure you do it at some point, right? And you don't need, you need smicha, but not take kefla smicha shrita. If you think that once we have smicha, we make it part of the hakrava, right? So no one would say you could do shrita on Tuesday and then bring the carbon on Wednesday, right? It needs to be right away. Once you start the process, you need to finish it. And therefore, you would need take kefla smicha shrita. Right, so that's where we're going to go with this, right? But
carbon Pesach is not the bate kesher shvein adalah
benikaros korban. So I mean, kind of right, Pesach is sort of unique, right? Either because it's not, it doesn't express your individual rights, or it's more about eating, right? It's more about the eating. It's more about the rather than the hakrava, right? The hakrava is just a right. This is the way I would have said it based on other things Rav Aaron has said is that Pesach. Again, this is his write-up of a share. It's not his article, so right. So you don't see quite as much the full picture of what he was saying. Karban Pesach. Another possibility is that it's a karban where most karban, the goal is to bring the karban, and secondary to it is you eat it. By Pesach is the opposite.
That's
the
right.
Goal.
Not the volume of running, opening volume of kapri. It's not the goal of the karban.
Correct, but you get. But in the other karban, you get kapara, right? You know, even if let's say, right, once you've done zrika, if it then becomes tameh, you don't have to ring again, even if no one eats, right? But Pesach, right? The whole point is everyone needs to eat it, right? The karban needs to be eaten. Everyone needs a kezias, right? The you bring the karban based on how many people are going to eat, right? The eating is much more central than the kapara aspect of it. It's a very different type of a karban. But that's a shear in karban Pesach. Okay, so we're going to stop there now that we've illustrated possibility one. We're going to have two more possibilities. We've intimated the second one, which is going to be it's a din karban. The third one, which is going to be even stranger, but it seems to be an explicit gemara, and it's developed in the Yerushalmi more, which is that it's sof hakdasha. Right, that it has to do with neither. It's actually part of the way you make the karban holy at all, which is going to throw everything off. But fine. That's so far we've gotten to possibility one, and we'll take up possibility two next week.